So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel.
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Reverend JFK Mensah, a seasoned Bible teacher with over 40 years of ministry experience. He is a pastor, a church planter, a missionary, and an international conference speaker. He is passionate about making Christ-like disciples worldwide. JFK Mensah is the General Overseer of Great Commission Church International. May you be transformed as you listen to the Word of God.
Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you now.
40 years' time, Islam will overtake Christianity forever. And I told our leaders that I want to die before that time. I don't want to be alive to see it, because I can't bear it. My whole life has been for world evangelism. How do you think I will feel in the year that Islam overtakes Christianity and Christians are busy building chapels and rejoicing among themselves, spending all the money on themselves? How do you think I will feel? You may not feel anything, but I cannot stand it. Yes. This is why I want to die doing the work. It's my Father's work. The second thing too, you can see from the chat, is that many people go to church, don't believe the Bible, they don't believe in Jesus, they call themselves Christians, but it's not more than shirt deep, skin deep, and they couldn't be bothered, and all the pastors are at post doing their work Sunday after Sunday. Normal. And once your salary comes, that's all right. And it looks like few human beings, in fact, few Christians, even worry about the fact that some people have never heard the gospel. It's their own palaver. Never heard the gospel, leave them. And it shows. I am amazed that a typical Jehovah Witness who does not have the truth, a typical Jehovah Witness who is not born again, is more serious than is a typical born again Christian. They know their Bible more. They go out to evangelize more. Last time in the rain, it was in the rain, in Adenta Oyari Pantan here, a Jehovah Witness was handing me a tract and trying to witness to me in the rain. So I rolled the car window and then I started sharing with her my personal testimony. She has never been born again, but she is standing in the rain to give me a track and witness to me. You are born again, and yet you cannot be bothered whether people are going to heaven or hell. You see, something is drastically wrong with Jesus' church. Amen. Well, I'm grateful to the team for the statistical research. I pray that it will wake us up to do something about this. CDM requires you to bring only one disciple in 1 year. What is difficult about that? And if we do it that way, in 34 years, we finish this work. You are not going to hear about Islam overtaking Christianity. And we have already done 12 years. So, in our books, we have 28 years to go. I want to use the time which is left to talk to you about disciple making. Disciple making. Many believers think that when they make disciples, they are working for the pastor or they are working for CDM. It's wrong. When you make disciples, number one, you become more like Jesus. Because Jesus made disciples. Matthew 4:19. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Mark 1:17. Come after me and I will make you become fishers of men. It is abnormal for a Christian to come and sit in church and you have never brought anyone to come to church and know Jesus. Now, I wouldn't even spend my breath on it. Let me ask, if you are here and you have ever preached to somebody and brought the person to receive Jesus as Lord and personal Savior, and the person is stable in church, in a good church, now, I want you to please stand up. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying that you, as a Christian, you have preached to somebody. The person has accepted Jesus as Lord and personal Savior, has been baptized, and is now member, a practicing member of church. I'm not saying necessarily your local assembly, but the person is in a good church somewhere. I want you please to stand up. Last time I went to a church, and then when I asked, they all stood up. So I took the mic and went to the first person. Where is your soul? And he saw that there was danger. So he came forward to join the people who have never led a soul to Christ. And the more I did it, the more we could not trace the souls that they have won. Please, you look among yourselves and see. This is even CDM. At people who are on the way, happy in church. They dance, they lead worship, and they, you know, speak in doctoral tongues. But there is no one human being you can point to that I am the person who led this person to Christ, and the person is in church now and is going to heaven. How do you feel? Are you happy with yourself? Please clap for those standing and God bless you. May your tribe increase. Amen. Please sit down. Well, let me spend the rest of the time telling you our structure for making disciples. We have found over time that our Bible college gives people information, so they are confident because they know. Our retreats give people fire, passion. But it is the one-on-one and small group meetings that change character. This is what we have come to see. So, I'm just going to walk you through the best practices. I will try and rush as much as possible. The first thing we do is that we have an introductory stage. We say you should pray and let God put certain people on your heart. And today we heard about the Holy Spirit. And the people he puts on your heart, contact them. Because Luke chapter 6 verses 12 and 13 tell us that Jesus prayed the whole night, and when it was day, he called unto himself his disciples and chose 12. Many people say, I'm discipling these 50 people. Once somebody says that, you must understand the person doesn't know how to make disciples. If you take more than 12 people, you are bigger than Jesus. You have found a secret which Jesus doesn't know. So, always keep your number at most 12 for concentration. Two, make sure that you prayerfully deal with each person as an individual. Why? Because you don't know them. You don't know their hearts. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 7 says that men look on outward appearance, but God sees the heart. In John chapter 2 verse 23 to 25, the Bible says when Jesus was in Jerusalem, many people saw the miracles he did and believed on him. But Jesus did not trust them. Please. If they don't read it, they won't believe it. Let's read verse 23 to 25.
Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them.
Did you hear that? Many believed in Jesus, but Jesus did not commit himself to them.
Because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man.
Many times we choose people to disciple because we look at their face. We look at their position in life, the schools they have attended, and even the way they dress. but God sees the heart. If you walk with the Holy Spirit, He will point out to you that this person, don't pick him. I normally share with my friends that 31st December, I said I wanted to be like Jesus. So I prayed the whole night. And the next day, I took the names I put before God, and He removed some of the names and put some new ones there. Then I started calling them. I called each one of them. I want you to be in my discipleship group. They said, yeah. And that's how we started. And it's 5 or 6 years now. Every single day, whether I travel or I'm at home, I pray for them by name. And now, till now, I haven't lost anyone as yet. I haven't lost any of them as yet. So what is happening is that many times we don't choose the right people. And Jesus prayed and chose one Judas Iscariot. If you don't pray, you will choose 11 Judas Iscariots. And when they betray you, you will say, oh, this discipling thing, I will never do it again. But the problem is not with discipling. It's with the way you are doing it. That brings me to the next point, which is what we call determined association. When you choose the people, find time to meet them. Make time weekly to meet the people and teach them and be with them. Mark chapter 3, verse 14 and 15 say that He chose 12 to be with Him. Yes.
Then He appointed 12 that they might be with Him.
That they might be with Him. Then He appointed 12 that they might be with Him. Then they appointed 12 that they might be with Him. Do you know? The only way to know somebody is to be with the person. This is my 38th year. I've married my wife. But till now, I'm discovering new things about her. And that's very true. Many people we think we know, we don't know them. Are you with me? Many of the people you think you know, you don't know them. You don't know them. If they tell you their story, or you see them under crisis, isn't that you say, hey? And I have a lot of stories to that effect. Some of them, I retell them because of how important they are. One of them is my Mauritania experience. When we were in Mauritania, it was 6 months for us to leave and come back to Ghana. And 6 boys, 2 from Mali, 2 from Togo, 1 from Algeria, 1 from Guinea-Conakry, 6 came to me that I should use my French to teach them the Bible. And I said, no, my French is lame in 2 legs. They said, oh, we like the broken French. So they started coming to my house 2 or 3 times every week. And just the things I'm going to tell you, I took them through the discipling process. But I was able to go to the house of every one of them except one, the one from Guinea Conakry. He's called Camara. That is his real name. It's not a pseudonym. So I said, Camara, I have to visit you. He said, oh, Pastor, I know you are busy. So I took taxi and got to his quartier and said, Camara, I'm here. Come and take me to the house. He said, hey, Pastor, you came. Hey, Pastor. He took me to his bedroom. When I entered, naked girls' pictures on the wall. All over the wall, girls. I said, Camara. I was discipling this boy 6 months with Bible verses. You know me already. And the naked girls were discipling him in his bedroom. If we search right now, some of you, we will see Mensah Otabil or Dag Yodmil sermon and naked girls pictures on your phone here. Yeah. If you like, we'll search. Two inside. I'm not frightened. Yes. I remember we went to Nigeria. We went to a pastor's conference in Nigeria. Pastor's conference in Nigeria. This Deeper Life, their center. When we closed, there was a long queue of buses and the buses were not moving. We said, what is it? They were checking the pastor's suitcases. And Ghanaian pastors had stolen patients and from Nigeria. And these people, Deeper Life, they will open your suitcase and take the bedsheet. Boom. Then pastors, I tell you, if right now we take your phone, you'll be shocked. You see, last time somebody came and reported to us that there was a girl who had used the phone to take photograph of her nakedness and sent it to her girl, her boyfriend. And she was in the church. Shame. So, my friend, you don't know the people. Oh. You don't know them. Those you say you are discipling, you don't know them. When I saw it, Camara. Two. In Hokwe Training College, now they call them College of Education. There was a guy called Acha. That's his real name. And he was, when he became a young teacher, he was sent to a village in the Volta region called Adupanchuro. And so when he started teaching, he started talking about Jesus Christ. The students believed. He prayed for them. The Holy Spirit fell, the classroom, the whole village. And he sent us message that he was bringing his first disciples to Huawei. My wife put a very big pot on fire. I think it's one of the pots. Yes, one of the pots they was among. It's from Huawei, about 30 years old. One of the pots they are cooking in there. It's a witness to what I'm saying. And my wife was cooking. The next thing we knew, somebody came and told Acha that, teacher, one of your disciples has been arrested by the police. He said, my disciple. Then he took the bicycle, which was at the mission station, click, 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 and rode to the police station. When he got there, the police handcuffed him and put him in cell. When he got there, he said, why? What has he done? Sana. the boy who he said he was discipling was flirting with somebody's wife in Adupanchuro. And so when Acha was bringing them to Hokwe, this guy told the man's wife, come to Hokwe so that we can enjoy. And so this boy and the wife came to Hokwe, but somebody gave the husband a tip off. So he also traveled to Hokwe and caught them red-handed and handed them over to the police. When the police said he should write a statement, he wrote that, this woman, I don't know her anywhere. It's my teacher, Mr. Acha, who said I should bring her. That's why I brought her. So from the statement with the police, immediately Mr. Acha reported, they just handcuffed him and threw him. Many of the people you say you are discipling, you don't know them. You don't know them. Spend time with them. Spend time with them. Spend time with them. Every human being you meet, ask the person, how many brothers and sisters do you have? Are you the firstborn or second or third? Where does your mother come from? What work does your father do? And, you know, which schools did you attend? What? All those things make you know the person. Many of us say we are discipling. We have no time for the people. You don't disciple like that. It won't work. If somebody is discipling you, you see that what I'm saying is exposing him. It doesn't work. But find time. Be with them. Look, John chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, chapter 17 is one evening with Jesus and his disciples. That's the evening he washed their feet. That's the evening he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's the evening he gave communion. That's the evening he prayed the high priestly prayer. That's the evening he talked to them about the Holy Spirit. One evening. Find time to be with the disciples. Is that clear? Do you understand? Now, let's go to the next step. It is structured impartation, meaning that you must find time to teach, find time to train, and find time to build character. Structured impartation. Why do we say structure? Order. Anybody here with a master's degree, sitting among the people, master's degree, yes, please come. Oh, they will say, okay, you come. Yeah, please, you two come, the two of you come. No, not you, him. This man, you come. Anybody who is JHS. If you are JHS, are you looking at another person? Scam. Okay. Thank you. So you, the two of you come here. Uh-huh. No, then you'll be here. You are seniors. Please look. I'm going to teach these two people what they should go and teach. And then after that, I'll teach these two people too what they should go and teach. And when you go and teach, bring the person you have taught so that the person can tell me what I have taught. Is it a good bargain? Okay, listen. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. Go and teach somebody. You, 17, 49, 86, 92, 63, 45, 8, 13, 28, 77, 52, 25. Go and teach somebody and bring the person. Teach somebody, bring the person. Great. Clap for them. Okay. Please, let's listen to their disciples. What were you taught?
10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. Ten, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100.
Thank you. Okay. What were you taught?
17 and 49.
What were you taught?
17, 49 and 80.
Please, these two young men have master's degree. They are not stupid. They are not stupid. You need to understand that these people are JHS, but because there is order in what I have taught them, they have been able to make disciples who can make disciples. Now, these people are master students, but there is no order in what I taught them. And because of that, they are disciples, and remember, only 2, 3 of their numbers. And if they also go and teach somebody, you see that somebody will remember only one. Listen, this is the reason why you go to church so many times, but you don't know anything. Because there is no order in the sermons. So the thing is, you go to church, they preach to you, but there is no order. The whole thing is in your mind. So the average church member has been going to church 10 years, but cannot produce 10 Bible verses because there is no structure. If I call one of you right now, that the sermon your pastor preached 3 months ago, come and tell me. Eh? Should I call? Okay, clap for them. So, because of that, the whole CDM, we have adopted one structured way of making disciples. One. All of us. So that there will be order in it, and the people can pass on that order to the next person, and the next person, and the next person. What is the order? Listen, I'm going to go through the order from beginning to end. And I am not going to preach. I'm just going to mention them for you. In the introduction, we showcase 3 things. First, Christ-likeness. If the person doesn't want to be like Jesus, don't waste your time. What did I say? Yes. So Christ-likeness is the first thing we introduce you to. After that, the second is discipleship. How to copy, obey, and imitate Jesus until you are like him. That is what we call discipleship. Then the third thing we teach is disciple making. How to reproduce yourself. How to multiply yourself. How to bear fruit. Now, if the person discipling you in this room has not gone through this with you, please, tomorrow, during the clinic time, go for healing. Tomorrow, during the clinic time, go so that they can give you first aid. Now, we have broken the whole Christian life into three big blocks. Block one, foundation. Block two, pillars of growth. Block three, the beams of the roof. Or, for human beings, childhood, youth, adulthood. For trees, we say roots, trunk, and fruit-bearing branches. So we've broken the Christian life into those three blocks. So what are the three blocks we've broken the Christian life into? Foundation, growth, maturity. Maturity. Foundation, growth, maturity. Childhood, youth, adulthood. Roots, trunk, fruit-bearing branches. Now, listen to what goes into foundations. We have four experiences, five assurances, and six basic Bible doctrines. Let me go over it. Four experiences, five assurances, six basic Bible doctrines. So here you are with the basic, the experiences. The experiences are four. Whether you are Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of Pentecost, Assemblies of God, Baptist, Lighthouse, ICGC, whichever church you belong to. These are non-negotiable. It's not your church which brought Christianity. So, one, new birth. That is the born again experience. Two, water baptism. Three, Holy Spirit baptism. Four, deliverance, healing and deliverance. If you are here and you haven't gone through new birth, water baptism, Holy Spirit baptism, deliverance, since you came to this retreat, please be on your feet. If one of these four is missing in your experience, please be on your feet now. I want to see you. Now, let me go through the five assurances. Number one, assurance of salvation. Number two, assurance of forgiveness. Number three, assurance of answered prayer. Number four, assurance of victory in temptation over sin, Satan, and the world. And number five, assurance of divine guidance. Okay, please sit down. Thank you. Now, if you are here, the six basic Bible doctrines are: one, repentance from dead works. They are all from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Repentance from dead works. Two, faith in Christ. Three, the doctrine of baptisms. Four, laying on of hands. Five, the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead. And six, eternal judgment. Now, we have come to the growth pillars. Once again, I am not preaching them. My argument is, it takes somebody who has been discipled to disciple other people. You see what our churches do to us. They check the money every month, but they don't check discipling every month. Let me just mention all the 10. Number 1 is Bible mastery. Number 2, prayer and fasting, solitude. Number 3, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Number 4 is evangelism, soul winning, and disciple making. Number 5, love and Christian fellowship. Number 6 is Christ-like character and righteousness, holiness. Number 7 is facing life's challenges. Number 8 is Christian stewardship. Number 9 is spiritual warfare. Number 10 is compassion and ministry. Your ministry or your gifts and calling, the identification and preparation, ministry preparation. Okay. Now, I am on the last stage now. We call that the maturity beams. Number 1, if you want to remember it, remember CDM. Character maturity, doctrinal maturity, ministry maturity, CDM. And in addition to that, we have intimacy with God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then, fruitfulness and multiplication. After that, we have Christian leadership at home, at work, in society, and on the international scene. Then number 6 is kingdom expansion. Number 7 is kingdom warfare. Number nine now. Please wait a minute. Character maturity, doctrinal maturity, ministry maturity, then intimacy with God, then fruitfulness, multiplication. That's 5. So now Christian leadership is 6. Then 7 is kingdom expansion. 8 is kingdom warfare. 9 is perfection in Christ Jesus. And 10 is finishing well. I have come to the conclusion that it takes somebody who has been discipled to disciple. Is Pastor Atta in the house? He chopped my money the other time. So, please, if you can keep quiet, I will bring this test again. If you get it, I give you 20 Ghana. Please put on the board for us Matthew chapter 28 verse 16.
Matthew 28 verse 16.
Yes.
Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them.
Please, it's an exam. So let's all read it together. Go. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. Okay. Now let's go to Matthew 28 verse 19.
Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Okay. This is my question. Do you want to read it? We can read it. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Okay. This is my question. What is the link between Matthew 28:16 and Matthew 28:19? 20 Ghana. You get it? 20 Ghana. You don't get it, I put my money back.
From the two verses, it means it takes disciples to make disciples.
Look at the verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus appointed for them. This is where they met Jesus. And Jesus said, go, make disciples of all nations. Jesus was not talking to you. He was talking to the people he discipled. It takes a disciple to make disciples. Many pastors have never been discipled. Therefore, they will find it difficult to disciple. So, my time is up. What I have tried to do this evening is one. Expose the faults in your discipling, the potholes, any area which has not been covered. It's difficult for you to disciple somebody in that area because you yourself, you have never been discipled. Two, I have tried to find out the caliber of people we bring to our retreats. Will it not be better next year when we come for retreat, that I mentioned, how many people have gone through foundations? Then everybody stands up. How many people have gone through growth? Then about 30 or 40% of people stand up. How many people have gone through maturity? Then 20%. I will be excited to see that. The quality of people we bring to the retreat determines how this group will grow. And I am doing it myself. I'm discipling some people on Wednesdays. I'm discipling some people on Thursdays. In fact, two groups on Thursdays, Friday, I'm discipling some people. Saturdays, I'm discipling some people. I am in the discipleship business myself because there are lots of people who have to be discipled. Therefore, the earlier you get discipled, the more useful you become in the vineyard. Because you too can pass on. 2 Timothy 2:2. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Brothers and sisters, Islam is not quiet. Even if we do nothing, we don't do anything, they will overtake us. All the noise, all the offerings and the collections, 100,000, 10 people, 100,000, please come to the front. All those things don't frighten Islam. What can frighten them is disciple making. Because when disciple making is going on, even Muslims meet the truth. They are changed. They go back and start discipling fellow Muslims. If we want to catch up with Muslims, I'm not saying this. Paul says I'm speaking like a madman. We must allow our men to marry four wives. Because the average Muslim marries four wives by the Quran. And so the average Christian marries one wife. So you have two children. And the average Muslim has eight children. For every generation, they are four times more than us biologically. Therefore, if we will not disciple, then marry four wives. Now, who are you laughing at now? Yes. So, please, we are in this battle to win or die. I need your commitment. All I want is if you are here and you want to tell the Holy Spirit that you are ready to make at least one disciple a year. More, I've come to see that when you take one person you are discipling, they are usually very lazy. It's always better to have two or three. Then there will be competition. If you take one person, the person will be bluffing you. Oh, today I didn't memorize my Bible verse. Oh, today I didn't prepare. But when there are two or three, and they come, and one person says, oh, I didn't memorize my Bible verse. Then the other person repeats it. You see that the lazy person is put to shame. Next time, you either change or drop out. So, if you are here, and you want to promise that, and not promise me, the Holy Spirit, that this work, with all the statistics, you are going to do it. And you are going to produce at least one disciple by next year retreat. Please, let me see you on your feet. Please, the number is still too much. Please sit down. If you know that you know that your standing up is showing the Holy Spirit that between now and next year retreat, you are going to make at least one disciple and go through the things which I have just gone through this evening. Please be on your feet. I like those who are sitting down because they are saying, even if Jesus comes, they won't do it. I respect your position. No, I'm telling you the truth. I respect your position. This is why I said the second time. And I wish I could have somebody from among you who is so bold that if somebody is not bringing a disciple, you dismiss him at the gate. Is there anybody like that? Can I find a soldier like that? Are you sure? When we close, come and see me. You are immediately employed. Okay, let's pray. Father, this work must be finished. We are the army the Holy Spirit is raising up to finish this work. Therefore, today, we declare again before the heavens that with grace from you, we will produce at least one disciple a year until the work is finished. Father, take it as a complete statement of our dedication and commitment. In Jesus' name, amen. Please, thank you. Oh, I can see the
Follow JFK Mensa Ministries on Facebook and YouTube and invite others to listen to his podcast. You can also access some of JFK Mensa's books and keep up with his ministry at www.jfkmensaministries.org. God bless you.